Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They told you what they think of Keon Coleman by their approach at receiver this offseason. They draft him at 33. They're expecting him to be a bona fide starter, somebody that they can rely upon. The guy that we saw in that Seattle game and that stretch of games for about 3 weeks is what they're hoping to see over the course of a 17-game schedule. If he turns into that, I think that lessens the importance on Dalton Kincaid taking a huge step.
Matt Parrino of the Shot Podcast, chatted a little Bills last segment. Wanted to talk Keon Coleman here for a minute because I think there's a good conversation to be had about him as we look to the Bills training camp and what we're going to watch for with Coleman. And if you have a thought on Coleman, give me a ring, 803-0550. Wide open phones right here for you. But I like to bring up reception, perception, Matt Harmon. You know, good or bad, we bring up his profiles on players when they're going to think about being drafted and when they're on the team, all the way back to Diggs and Davis and Elijah Moore, his draft status. And I feel like Matt Harmon does a really good job just isolating receivers, what they do well, how they're used. And with Coleman, there's, I'm gonna say something. There's some bad in here, but there's also some good in here. And there's a key kind of point, key dividing line in the point. And what that is so when Matt Harmon does his rankings and when he does his breakdowns, you've probably seen, if you're on Twitter or anywhere, you see the route tree with the greens and the reds. And, you know, does this guy run this route well or is he bad at it? And if you were to see Keon Coleman's, what you would see is lots of red, which is bad. Lot of red. He's not very good at any route in the tree that the Bills had him running outside of slants and screens. Everything else was kind of bad. His percentile that he beat man coverage was very, very bad. Third percentile. Like Keon was not getting separation, was not getting open. And that was in the scouting report. And here's where the key line comes down on. Well, what does that have to mean? And Harmon's one, as many other people in the draft thought, that thought Coleman would be better suited as a power slot. If you give him a little bit of a different job, he could really flourish. And the Bills didn't show much interest in doing that last year. And the way to kind of talk about this is to say, well, what would be the best thing for Keon Coleman? And what would be the best thing for the Bills? If the Bills, this kind of can get to Brandon Bean and about, it's not fantasy football. We're not trying to get production. We're trying to win games. Like no one would dispute, you know, you want to win games. You want to have a good offense. And if you were just trying to give Keon Coleman the best opportunity he could get, it might be in a power slot kind of role. But if you're trying to build an offense that gives you a lot of things, well, Kincaid and Shakir are going to operate in the slot, and Elijah Moore might operate there in the middle of the field. He can go outside as well. So Coleman, as an ex-receiver, there are a lot of things he will never do well. But there are some things he can do exceedingly well. And one part of that, for me, is when the play breaks down. You know, I don't need him to be the go-ball guy. The Bills treated him like their deep go-ball guy a little too much last year, and that's probably not his strength. He's not going to get separation on those. Back shoulder, end zone fades, maybe stuff like that, above the rim kind of stuff, right? Some of his highlights were above the rim. And if I think back to training camp last year, highlights for Coleman in training camp, there were 1,000 highlights of him the spinning, jumping back of the end zone catch, whether it's in coverage or just alone. Like Coleman looks the part of an above-the-rim receiver. And I think if you have an expectation for him to be that kind of receiver, you won't necessarily come away disappointed. You don't have to be disappointed. He's probably never going to be the separator against man coverage that some other guys are. But again, can Joe Brady's offense work with that? And I think the answer to that is yes. he had some success. As Matt mentioned, that Seattle game before the injury, there's a couple broken plays. There's a couple of times he just beats a guy one-on-one. Tariq Woolen is the guy he beats in. Seattle makes a catch over top of him. So I just think with Coleman, the key is to keep your expectation on knowing what he does well and what he maybe doesn't do well. And while the Bills might have him in a position that doesn't get the most production out of him or doesn't get the best out of his skill set, the question is not that. It's does it fit as part of their offense? And if they make that work, then, you know, that's that. That'll be all right. But the numbers on Coleman from Matt Harmon, just to give you a comparison, like Gabe Davis's percentile beating man coverage topped out at 24th. He was 7th. He was 24th. Like, Gabe was never a guy that was getting open all that much against man coverage. And Coleman, well, let's just say he's got work to do to get to where Gabe was in that department. But that doesn't have to mean he is useless for you. It can, in fact, mean there are ways to use him better. And if they trust him a little more and he comes back and they like what they see, I think he can be a monster in the screen game. They love to run their screens, right? We know that. That's part of their offense. It's an extension of the run game to a degree. And Coleman after the catch, we're going to talk with Ian Harditz coming up at 9 o'clock. He pointed out, he pulled up the stat, number one in yards after catch over expected in the NFL at receiver last year was Coleman. That he made plays with the ball in his hands. So I think the Bills will give him a little bit more. The question I have is, do they kind of scheme stuff up for him the way they did Shakir last year? Because there's definitely some useful skills there. It's just a matter of understanding what he is and what he isn't and how that fits into their offense. So, you know, the Harmon evaluation had a lot of oof, but in there is, but how do the Bills make it work for them? Mike on a cell phone on Keon. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, I understand everything you're saying. To me, with all of his faults, the things that he doesn't do well, you can't give up. Take him in the first round or the first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
This is a guy that, you know, with all these things, that's what you see from a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick. He does this well. He does this well. Hopefully we can get him to do these other things well. This is a guy – we had opportunities last year to move up and get Thomas, to stay where we are and get Worthy. Guys that filled a hole in our lineup. What Keon Coleman does isn't much different than guys that we've gotten rid of. You know, it just seems to me that he's got...
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost like he's a power play specialist in hockey. He's going to be in there on the goal line because he can go up and get balls and he can make a couple plays. But the screen game, Shakir does the screen game. We got Samuel on the screen game. Yep. We got all these other guys. So we're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole and make an offense that this guy can be effective in, when that's what you get from a third or fourth round pick. You don't waste a first round or a first pick of the second round pick on a guy that has all these issues. You know, we talked last year before the draft that we need a guy that separates. We need a guy that can go deep. We need a guy that can stretch the defense, open up the rest of the game for everybody else. Yes, our offense was great last year, but what people never say is how much better it could have been had we drafted a Thomas or a Worthy and not had to trade for Cooper and that type of thing. So to me, I just hated the pick when it was made. After a year, I think it's shown that it was not a good pick because I just don't see him being an impact wide receiver for what we spent to get him.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, I think he can make an impact. Right. If your thought was in that spot, you get a future number one. I mean, the guys drafted around him, we'll see how it goes. Worthy, of course, was thought to be a role player, gadget guy. He got a lot of targets. Ladd McConkey went right after him. He had a big season. But Coleman was, the numbers were kind of there. He was putting them up until he got hurt, and it'll be a big second season for him. Yesterday, Judah Fortgang put together this, 200 route chart about separation, how they did on separation and how they produced. And Coleman was, it's outbreaking routes, one of the worst in the NFL at separation. But on actual production, how did he do with it? He was pretty good. So I guess you could make the case that's sustainable. I mean, Coleman wasn't my favorite idea when they made that pick, but I certainly think it can work. And again, it's just about knowing what he can do. Right now, his best spot, his best usage might kind of be blocked off. And that's where, as we get to, one of the big questions Bills fans will have this offseason will be like, Kincaid or Coleman? If you're gonna pick one to hit their ceiling, who would it be? My pick to hit the ceiling would be Kincaid, because I think the ceiling for what he individually can do might be higher. Finding a way to use him, finding a way to get him the ball more, that might be one of the biggest jobs. And it's funny, like Matt Parrino there, previous segment, he said, they're going to use the doubting of the receiver as fuel. And that's fine. They can do that. They were more doubted at receiver a year ago than they are now. A year ago, they were in much worse shape. And, the point that a lot of us have been making about receivers, that they should be investing picks instead of just, spending guys in free agency and, be a little bit more forward thinking about building a core and always having it there as opposed to turning it over a lot. So it's not that their receivers are bad. I don't think they have a great group, but they're in a better spot than they were last year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, last year, again, Matt Collins, who was, we didn't know what to expect, and MVS are the guys they're talking about out there. And now Josh Palmer is better than both those ideas, and Elijah Moore is better than any of the street guys they would have brought in to say maybe this guy can make it. So I think they're in a better spot than they were last year. And with Coleman, we're looking at year two versus year one. How big of a bump can there be from year one to year two for Coleman? I'm just keeping it in check. I guess that's what it comes down to. Like, if you're thinking, can he pop like Brian Thomas Jr.? I'm ready to be wrong on this. I don't even consider that a possibility. I'm hoping he can just be the guy, be Gabe, really. If he were to be Gabe, I would consider that a success. That'd be good. Gabe was good. That goes to your point. Gabe was a fourth rounder. He's a second rounder. I don't know how much I have to get hung up on that. I don't really have to care about that. Gabe was good. Gabe had his flaws. And when it came time, they didn't want to pay him $13 million a year. And if Coleman becomes the highest version of himself, I guess we could ask the question, would they pay him? Maybe, maybe not. It's a long way to get to that one. 803-0550. More of your phone calls on this. Jordan, if you can hang with us, we'll get to your call on the other side. Ian Harditz was someone to talk about this Bills offense and whether or not Coleman can be a contributor. Coleman, polarizing is one way to say it. I'm respecting those that think, and the Bills included here, that there's stuff he can bring without being a perfect prospect. I know there are lots of players that are like that. Shakir, to a degree, is this. Shakir's not some perfect receiver. They use him really well, exactly what he does really well. And if Coleman can kind of get that Shakir glow up where Joe Brady and the offense, they really start to lock in how they use him effectively, then I think we're all pretty happy with that. So I'm not asking him to be a do-all, does-all, because I don't think that's in the cards. But I think the potential is there to get more out of him, and that'll be one of the things on Joe Brady's to-do list this year. 803-0550. More of your phone calls. Ian Harditz, top of the hour, coming up here on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.